Hello, everyone. Hi, I'm Richard. I'm from Jersey, actually. It's so crazy. This is my first time traveling to do comedy. It's crazy. I started doing comedy. Well, I started doing stand-up almost nearly 6 years ago, in July of 2015. And before that, I did improv for way too long. I did improv for like 5 years, which is just way too long. That should be like a... It should be like what you get as like a misdemeanor crime. Of like, if you get caught stealing, some shitty kid gets caught stealing, just don't punish him, don't like send him to scare straight. Be like, 6 years of short form improv for you, that's what you have to do. I was not good. They were nice to me, but I was not good. I couldn't do voices, I couldn't do impressions. I remember one time, I did an impression, I was like, hello, hello? And they're like, what the fuck was that? I'm like, you wanted me to do a British accent? That's my British accent. I'm a single guy, as you can probably tell.
I don't know what kind of people you're after. One thing I don't respect is, I went to Marshall's the other day to get some clothes, I need some shoes, and I look on the wall, and everywhere I look is like the models are just fatter and fatter and have you noticed this? Like, not even in the maternity ward. Like, there's like... Fat, the last one was like in a wheelchair, like what the hell is going on? Models are so disgustingly fat. Like, fat models don't sell clothes. Fat models sell cookies, cakes, and divorce lawyers. So you use them for that. Guys, divorce lawyer. Okay, guys. Does this work?
Yeah. It's just not good. Like, me, I kind of relate, like, the way that I sort of describe myself as with women is... I just have no game. I have no game at all. Me trying to date is like a dinosaur, like a T-Rex trying to masturbate. Like, his arms are too short. They can't do that. That's why they're mad all the time.
It's 2:30, okay. I'm at 30. Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, what is going on? I thought he was a Jersey comic. It's Richard Dweck.
Hey.
In the person.
Yeah.
So, how we've been going around Austin. I know it's just day one, but
yeah.
Impressions so far.
I really like it. You know, it's so interesting to travel to a new place. Like, I've traveled with my family to Aruba and stuff in different places, but to go by myself is really, like, just crazy. Like, to me, I always, like, I kind of coast off of being, like, semi-retarded, so, like, it's, like... I act like everything is, like, a big, like, whenever I do something right, it's, like, a big advantage, like, a big, like, thing. It's like, oh, I did that all by myself.
Yeah,
I traveled all by myself.
Yeah.
We're
still working on the shoe and
I went
tying
to,
the shoes.
Yeah, I went through everything by myself and did everything correctly. So that's the one thing that I was happy about. I did everything right. And just what I've noticed with talking to people, like, at the airport and just, like, regular interactions is... People in Texas are super nice, like, just salt of the earth, like, what you would, like, it's kind of stereotypical what you would imagine, like, Southern people are just, like, sweet, like,
yeah.
Generally, especially nowadays, like, I think especially with, you know, stuff going on, people are just, like, more even live and let live, and I noticed that a lot with the comics, like, I met a really cool comic, Dean.
Dean Allen Stanfield.
Yeah, yeah, and he was on your podcast,
mm-hmm.
And... I sent him a request on Facebook. Hopefully he... Because I really liked him. He was, like, super cool. And it's really cool. Like, how we talk about how, you know, when you have sort of that level of, like, how you interact with people is very important to me. So to see him, like, come out... And he's not, like... Like, even though he holds court and he's friends with all these people, he's not, like, a dick about it. He's super approachable and super nice.
Yeah.
And just, like, genuine... Like,
yeah, and he, like, runs a bunch of shows, like, he, you know, and I've run into people who, like, they run two shows, and they act like a sociopathic King Joffrey, you know? Wait, this person is going the wrong way up the street. See how this street is a one-way? It's a one-way street. This car is going the wrong way. That's so dangerous.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Who is that person? Oh, it's a lady. was that Bonnie McFarlane? So, Yeah. What are we saying? Sorry, we're just we're parked here, and I saw like an accident in the making.
Yeah.
Someone was ripping up the wrong way.
I was
just
saying, he's such a cool dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the cool thing is when you watch someone like that, the one thing I noticed with him, this is probably me just kissing his ass, but he's, you know, when you see someone on stage and you can just feel the like their essence, like the star power. That's what I noticed when I was with him. I was like, this guy's a fucking star. Like,
it's like, yeah, he's powerful. He's got that mullet, you know?
He's got the mullet. He's got the, like, he's like, you know, I can't imagine being so, like, fearless to wear, like, an unbuttoned shirt.
Oh, yeah, the like, chest hair was going.
Like, oh, wow.
With a Texas medallion. Yeah. You know, I like, noticed that. I was like, wow.
It's like, I can't do that. That's so cool. So, it's like...
You can get a button-down shirt.
It's like, not with anything on. It's like, I'm going to be, like, you know, cleavage is not going to...
You can show off your boobs, Richard Gregg. So, yeah. So, also, a bit of a to-do. I had, like, car failure when I was supposed to pick you up from the airport. So, that was a little bit stressful for both of us.
So, yeah. So, I tried to, like... get an Uber twice and it didn't work, so it was like, you know, and I was asking people, I'm like, what do I put in for like the like for this address here, for this parking lot? And then I guess they saw me struggling, the taxis like were there, so they just, one guy came up to me, he's like, you need a taxi ride? I'm like, yes, I'll do that.
Oh, good. Okay.
And then
yeah.
My phone was dying because I had a good like thing, I charged my phone up and to like 100 when I was at the airport, and it was like right at the end, and I'm so happy that I asked the taxi if he had a charger, because he did, and I was like, I should have asked him sooner, but it's like, that's the thing that you still have to learn to do, like getting better at stuff. Like, to me, that's my thing, is like getting better at little stuff that I have to get better at,
just like look,
like if, asking for help
yeah.
is a big part. Like, that's why I have to just learn how to do better, because for me, I'm always like, I think one of my personal issues is like, I always feel like I don't want to be a burden to people. Like, I don't want to be annoying, be like, you know, When you tag along, you don't want to be the person that everyone has to clean up after, or be like, or show you like how to do stuff, or like, you know, you want to be able to do things at the same level as everyone else.
Yeah, I also just think it's about, you know, preparing for the future. Like, so when you land, you know that, like, look, you're just a lost puppy in Texas. So if you can't make the phone call, like if your phone is dead, now you're a homeless person, unless
right.
you can contact me that I can come and grab you, or I can
right.
we can negotiate how to get you to my house, because
yeah.
that's the couch that
so
you're going to live on.
That was
on,
cool.
So.
That was cool. Like, I was able to like go do a phone charging place, charge my phone, and get the then get it up, and then, you know, it was good, but it was really, really cool just to go through it, and the plane ride was so... It went by pretty fast because I was like excited. So you know how like sometimes you go through the day and it's like, you know, sometimes you have slow days in life, and some days you just have fast days.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, everything's going so
a
fast.
A travel day.
It's like everything was going so fast for me. So I was happy with that. It's like, you know, and then it was a smaller airplane, so that was like a whole thing too. That was interesting to me because like I've never been on like a flight that's sort of small before, like compact, I guess.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm used to like bigger airplanes, so it was like, you know, being in this little like plane, yeah. But yeah, so, but it was good, and you know, I think it's so interesting with the masks and everything, like just figuring out, like seeing what people are doing. Because when I was at the mic yesterday, I brought my mask, and then I noticed, like, I don't usually wear it when I'm sitting down. But I noticed, like, no one has the mask here. It's like...
Yeah.
So I was like, I just got to figure out. Like, for me, I was just like... That's what I figured with Texas. I was like, I heard different rules. So I was like, well, whatever the rules are, I'm just going to follow and see what they are. And I'm vaccinated anyway, so, you know, that's probably good either way. But, yeah, so, you know, it's cool. But, yeah.
No, yeah, I just feel bad. I couldn't, because, like, my engine was overheating as I was going to you, because there was an accident, and the whole road was pinched off, so my car was overheating. I was like, ah! So I had to, like, find a 7-Eleven. I put, like, 2 liters of water in my coolant, and then I just, it was enough just to get it home, and then I showed you all those weird chemicals I had to pour in my car last night to, like, keep the engine from blowing up. But, yeah, now it's running. Now it's fine. I got coolant in my radiator, so now it won't overheat anymore. But, yeah, so it was, like, you know, I was like, oh, this is the first time Dweck has been on a plane by himself. He's traveling by himself. Let me make it easy for him. I don't want his anxiety to spike. Let me make it easy. And then my car had a malfunction. I was like, ah! And then you're like, I can't use the Uber app. My Uber app wasn't working. I was like, oh, my God. Now he's just like, he's got to sell his body and live at the airport for this weekend.
Right.
I was like, where is this going?
Yeah.
But yeah, we made it. Yeah, you had a show at Romo. You're booked on Dirty Birdie with Ozzy Moon tonight.
Yep. Yeah, that was really nice. That was really cool just for him to like say that and message me and be like, yeah, you're on, man. It's like, oh, this is great. And
nice. Yeah, it's good to have friends.
I'm excited to have that. And, you know, to show, like, to meet someone in person and also for them to just see. Like, that's the cool thing for me is I like having the new, like, this is what I wanted. I wanted the new people to be able to see me. Because I love, like, I learned to love it. Like, part of me was, like, when I started out, and even a couple years ago, I was like, oh, I can't wait to get out of Jersey. And still, I still feel that. But I love New Jersey now.
Yeah.
Doing comedy there.
Like, you have a class of people, but they feel like, it's almost like high school. They feel like they know you, and they can, you know.
And, like, for me, it's like, I can't do, like, a lot of material that I want to do that's, like, the... I guess the intro stuff I can't really do anymore because everyone knows who you are.
Right.
So, like, when you're a comedian, you sort of have to, like, the rule is you have to introduce yourself in 15 seconds or less. Like, what's this person? What's their personality? What are they about as a comedian?
Right, right.
It's like, I get on stage back in New Jersey where I go all the time to all these mics and, you know, stuff. It's like, all these people know, like, what I am. So they're kind of used to it now. So for me, it's like, it's interesting to be like, brand new place. Like, people just gotta, you know.
Yeah, ability to make new first impressions.
Yeah,
you can only make first impressions once, and now every time we go out, you'll be making first impressions to somebody.
And like, within me, I didn't say it so soon, but like, I would be, like, I wouldn't have been upset. Like, I did okay yesterday, but I would have been like, geeking out. Like, I would have been like, excited if I bombed and did terribly. I'd be like, I bombed in Texas. Like, you know, I'd be like, it's so much better than bombing in New Jersey.
Right, right.
Like, it's
a whole new
experience. It's, you know, it's a new thing. So
it smells like gunpowder and whiskey in the room. I never experienced that before.
It's like, you know. Yeah, so, and it's just cool to like ride with Eric, and he's always, you know, just hilarious with this stuff. And it's like, it inspires me to be, you know. It influences me, and I'm, you know, I didn't know to say this or not, but, like, I'm really flattered that he wanted me to come on to this trip with him, because that at least shows, like, that at least someone sees something. Like, that's the thing that you want as a comedian, is you want people to, I guess, acknowledge you.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And be like,
you want respect from your peers.
You're good enough. You want respect from your peers. So for him to be like, you know what, I don't mind, like, him coming out here, and, like, working on bits together, this is like the stuff that I dream about doing. So like, I talk with my mom and stuff, and like, she knows, like, she was excited for me to do this because it's like, this is what I want to do, you know. It's so funny, probably rambling now, but I saw a documentary years ago called I Am Comic, and it's like about road comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And like, part of it is all these guys, like, talking about, like, the negative of how bad it is to travel and all, like, the stuff and how they hate it so much. Like, from Wisconsin, I'm like, I would, you know, I know I'm new, but I would love traveling. And, yeah. Like, even with this, like, even with the minor things that went on with, like, the your thing with your car and everything, like, this is, to me, it's, like, the adventure. Like, to me, that's what I like about comedy and doing stuff like this is, it's the adventure. All this stuff is what you're doing. Like, you know, you gotta have these small things that happen. That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, it didn't all go well, but we roll with the punches, and we still have like a training camp. I feel like this is like your Texas comedy boot camp.
Yeah, and for you to do this, what's really cool is that you're doing this for people, and it just gives them a spot to just, you know, an opportunity to come and do stuff. And I was going to ask you, are you going to have Brian St. John come up?
I'd love to. I have an open invitation to a lot of comics. You were just the first one to kind of take me up on it.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've been talking to Dan Farley too, like, hey, come on, like, well, you saw our whiteboard, like, it's like every weekend we have another person staying
right,
on
yeah.
our couch. So for me, it's not a big deal. Like, I would be doing these mics anyway, but like to have a buddy from Jersey to go around with me, it's like, it doesn't really cost me anything. So, and it gives me an opportunity to like sit down with somebody and like we were workshopping our jokes and like, you know.
Yeah.
That sounds...
And to get tips at like a from a higher level person, be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And, you know, to me, it's always just getting into that zone of, yeah, it's like, that's what I like. It's,
yeah, and we were talking about dating and dinosaur arms, one of your bits, and I was like, you know, we were just doing it over and over and, like, adding tags to it. And it's like, yeah, this is what...
This is what it is about. This yeah. is the laboratory of, like, what you do.
Yeah. And we're doing 3 mics Saturday, 3 mics Sunday. We did a mic last night, you know?
Yeah.
We're just, I'm trying to train you up and send you back.
Yeah.
With new shiny balls.
Right. Yeah, so it's doing pretty well. And, yeah, I'm really happy with it.
Nice.
Everything so far.
So let's, you know, I see some people sneaking into the creek in the cave in front of me. So let's see if we can sneak in and get on that list.
Okay.
All right, guys. Smoke pot, worship aliens. I've been Eric Hollenbach. Thank you very much.
I love redheads. Yeah. That's the thing about me. Christina Hendricks, Kim Possible, Garfield. Garfield and I really hit it off. We both hate Mondays, we both love lasagna, and we're both fat pussies. So, you know, it works out.
It's Sunday. You arrived Friday, a little to do with the airport. Saturday we did 3 shows. We're about to do 3 shows Sunday. Last night, you killed at the Dirty Birdie with Ozzy Moon at the Romo Room.
I'm not religious, I'm Jewish, but I'm not religious, so I find religion to be really fascinating, though. Like, with circumcision, like, they used to, like, use foreskin as currency. That is, like, so interesting to me. You know, you have, like, you know, you have to pay off, like, a car, like, $300, and it's just like, oh, just 2 foreskins. $300. Like, you know, it'll be fine. It's like, you know, I like to imagine, like, different scenarios. Like, okay, like, imagine if you're at a strip club. And instead of, you know, throwing money, you're just throwing foreskins. And she was picking them up and putting them on her finger, like, you know, like,
Hey, man.
Danny Bravitz, Rabbi Benishevitz. Well, I'm in New York Harbor right now. I bought a container ship of, it was filled with, well, the ice melted, but it was filled with tuna, high-quality tuna. So I'm thinking if I can hose the stink off the fish, I can can them.
Oh, that's a good idea. And then you could, like, mix it with mayonnaise and shit and make a tuna salad.
Yeah, tunas. Everyone loves the tuna salad. But, boy, it's rotten, this stinky fish. I don't know where this container ship's been because there's scorpions on it. The fish have been pecked clean by buzzards of different varieties. They defecated on most of the fish. But
you could probably, if you clean it all off, you could probably make some good money on it.
I'm just thinking I could flip it. I got it for a deal. Anyway,
correct.
wash your foreskin area.
Thank you.
Remember when I chopped your pee-pee at your breast?
I don't remember. I was a baby.
Oh, yeah. Boy, did you scream. Boy, did you bleed. All right, good catching up.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Any updates?
I am so excited. So I shared my set online on YouTube, and I shared it on Facebook. And
you tagged me at the post.
Yeah. And there's a famous comedian, Keith Reza. He's a he has Asperger's syndrome, and he's, you know, he interviews people on his podcast like I do, and he's had tons of, like, amazing comics, like Norm Macdonald, and who he's really close with, and
Bob Saget recently, and like, so I'm a huge fan of his. And
wait, is he an LA guy?
I think so.
Does he own a comic book store?
I don't think so.
Okay, maybe. Show me a picture of him. I might know this guy.
Okay.
All right, but
I'll show it to you later.
Sorry, yeah, later.
So, I shared it my set from last night, and he shared it on his, he watched it, and he shared it on his Facebook page. And I was like, oh, that's so cool, like an act, like a comedian, like shared my, you know, set, and he complimented me on it. And I was just like over the moon, so I talked to him about doing my podcast, and he said that he'd do it. But
hey, it's you're just, getting that, you know, Austin bomb.
It's just good. It's like, you know, just trying to. It's just good to get that out there, and you know, for him to say, like, he told me that I had a lot of heart, and I was just like, oh wow, that's like, you know, I'm like over the moon. Ecstatic. Yeah,
we had a little training camp yesterday too. Yeah. We were training for your Romo show. Like, I was like, all right. Let's combine all your things into a document. Let's print it out. Let's give you like a training document where you just like, it's just joke. Read it, study it.
Right. And to me, like last night, I wasn't too upset about this that I did this, but.
Yeah, you had a 10-minute set.
I had a 10-minute set. I did like five. But the reason I did five was, and if you're a performer, I think at anything, you sense the crowd. And I think as a performer, I know me, I get very anxious. Like, when you do stand-up, there can be, you know, like, not a bad thing, but, like, a dip in energy for, like, a second.
Yeah.
And, you're supposed to ride through that and be like, okay, I'll get them back. Like, you know, I won't lose them completely, but, you know, you lose them for, like, a period when you're, like, waiting and thinking of material, like, your material.
And
so
it was
an amazing fucking crowd. They were, I think there was someone's birthday, so they were, you know, they were hyped, and everyone was really, really hyped. Everyone did, I only saw like three or four other people, but they were, but they all did well because the crowd was just on fire.
Yeah.
So when the crowd is that hot, you're like, I want to leave on the biggest laugh. So, like, that's what I did. I was like, but I knew that when we went over our stuff, it's like, okay, I got to hit everything. I got to do the closer properly.
Yeah.
Hit all the tags, everything. Just, like, don't bail out on it and be like, oh, well, I got my laughs, so I'll leave. It's like, no, I have to still, like, it's like cleaning your room, you know? You can't just be like, oh, I put one shirt away and I'll do it later. You have to be like, okay, I put everything away. You know,
yeah, because like, yeah, if you're getting laughs on your setup, imagine what three punchlines is going to do on top. I'm like, your setups are always good. It's just, and then you're like, okay, well, what's the next thing? It's like, no, you're right there. You told me privately some tags, and then we were doing other mics, and then you did the setup without the tag. I'm like, buddy, you got to hit those tags, because that's where you're going to like start digging in your kill, you know?
Yeah. So it's
it was fun to watch you.
It's cool to see everything, and like Eric's just such a big help, like, to me, just, you know, I was so, again, Ozzy was super cool, and he, you know, I feel like, I always get self-conscious about the way that, like, I act socially, and I think I was too excited. Like, I thanked him too many times for putting me on, but it's like, you know, I haven't done any, you know, book stuff. Not in the fold of my own, just, you know, COVID and everything. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, I haven't had, like, the last big show I had was, like, this outdoor mic, I guess, in October. And that ended up being, like, a mini show. So it's like, you know, you think of that time from, like, October to now. It's like, I haven't done any shows. It's like, you know, I'm doing all these mics and, you know, mics are like, you know, just now there's people coming back, but, you know, you're performing in front of other comics, and, like, to me, it's like, this is an actual show, like, I gotta, like,
yeah.
So I was very grateful, and to, like, get that spot.
Yeah.
And so I just, I thanked him too many times, I think, and that's my, that's my, what I worry about.
Well, I feel like you rose to the occasion. We were, like, training for the show all day. We did two shows earlier, but then we got back, we had dinner, and I was like, all right, do it again. Like, let's train like an Olympic athlete. If we, like, you know, you got on a plane. How long were you sitting on the plane for this opportunity? It's like, let's take this, let's go for it.
Do it, yeah.
Cool.
Well, a couple other things happened. We played frisbee golf.
Yeah. That was fun to, like, learn how to do, and, you know, the weather wasn't too bad, it wasn't too hot, and...
There's a frisbee golf course in Zilker Park that I'm obsessed with. It's beautiful, it's fun, and then on the other side of Zilker Park, Hans Kim and Riley Gilmore drove a van onto the volleyball courts, and they set up speakers, and they were running on Hans Kim's solar panel of the van that he owns and lives in and poops in, and there's like a bucket of piss and shit on the bottom of it. But hey, he lives there. So I think he cleaned the bucket before. It wasn't that smelly. It was just a little, I don't know, pungent. And then, so it was fun. We played disc golf on one side, then there was a open mic in the park. And like when I first got there, I was like, I remember we met those comics, and we were like, oh, so this is where it's at? Like, what's going on? And there was just like five courts of, you know, sexy people playing volleyball.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this? And then he drives right on the court, sets up the speakers, and then as the show started, all these like people from that were just sitting around on picnic blankets on other parts of the field just kind of migrated to the stage and just started watching our show.
Watching us, yeah.
So then by the time you perform, there's like, I don't know, how many people was there?
It had to be 50 like,
or so people were watching.
Yeah.
So it was great.
It was cool. Yeah. It was really great. And, you know, to me, it's just like, I like that I've been able to do this and, you know, be able to, you know, my mind, the thing that's, you know, kind of, like, I guess, like, not really great is that I'm always thinking ahead. So, like, to me, even though we're in today, I'm, like, thinking about, like, the plane ride back and all the shit I have to do. And I'm like, okay, that's going to be, you know, I had messaged my dad my itinerary because he needed that. And I was like, you know, this is, you know, that's the thing is, like, I can't, you know, relax in the day when I have other stuff that's, like, coming. So,
well, yeah, it's like we got three shows today. I got to stay in the moment. But good thing we, like, go to bed a little earlier tonight because then we have to get on the plane tomorrow. So we have to leave here at, like, I don't know, 9:30 or 10 so to get. I think your plane is, like, at 1 p.m. it leaves, right?
Yeah.
So we got to, it doesn't take too long to get there. I think if we get there at 10:30, it'll probably be fine. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Yeah, we got shows to do. I got to pour a little bit more coolant in my car. Make sure, remember that light went on again. My coolant light went on again.
Okay,
remember? Remember, I was like, look at that red light. Yeah. Oh, my God. So maybe I got to pour a little coolant in my car. Keep things smooth.
Right.
There's some gossip going on, you know. Every mic we go to, they're talking about a comic got canceled this past weekend.
Oh, yeah, the Tony Hinchcliffe thing. You want to talk about that?
I guess so. It's like, it's fun because it happened in this city.
Yeah.
So every mic you go, everyone's talking about it. Which, you know, you want press, but boy, that's not good press.
Right.
Give it up for the one and only Tony Hinchcliffe.
Welcome, hello. How about one more time for the filthy little fucking chink that was just up here? While all you fucking race trainers are hooping and hollering, I'm back there watching you puking in a fucking bucket. Oh, we making a gunpowder. Oh, you want extra soy sauce. Oh, you borrow money from us. And you guys just eating it up, you fucking pussy.
What side are you on now?
To me, I was on.
Are you on the side of cancer culture or freedom of speech, Richard Dweck?
I guess freedom of speech. To me, like, it was obviously a joke. It was, you know, tell by his, you know, inflection and his performance during the bit and the sarcasm in it that it wasn't, you know, his actual feelings. The thing to me that was, that I got confused on that I didn't know for sure and I kind of judged too early. Because the guy that shared it, he didn't share the full video. He shared like 30 seconds, which is ironic because Tony Hinchcliffe's show that he does is they judge comics like by 10 seconds.
Right. So, well, I think it's like a minute.
Yeah. So like, so for me, I thought like this guy's opening for him. This kid is like obviously like maybe a little bit of like a comic that's a little bit higher than me, but like still lower than Tony. And Tony's, you know, they're not friends. Tony's throwing
him
under the
bus. You're talking about social status.
Yeah, Tony's using his social status to bully this kid. And, you know,
make fun of them. You don't do that to your opener. That's a shitty thing to do. Your opener comes, they open, they do your set. And, like, even if you don't like their jokes or you think they're, like, kind of hacky, I think it's kind of rude to, like, not talk to the person and then be like, oh, I'm going to shit with them on stage. And all those Joe Rogan guys, they just do that. They just, you know, they roast you, like, without knowing you, I guess. And it's, like, it's not even, like, it doesn't even feel like a friendly thing, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's like...
And then it turns out that they were actually, like, they actually got along and stuff. And, like, you know, the guy just sort of did it to, like, I think he didn't think ahead. I think he was all just, like... I think he just shared it, and then he didn't, like, realize, like, oh, this is not going to look good without the full context of everything.
Well, I think that's why he did it for a little...
And I think he did that, too, like, just to, like...
Clickbaity.
Yeah.
But, like, what... I think it was two bad actions on both
yeah,
sides.
Yeah, two bad actions,
number
yeah.
one, Tony Hinchcliffe, I don't know.
And maybe, the thing that happened with Tony is, like, so many comedians that I know and, like, a couple that I'm friends with and a couple, like, really famous ones I saw on Twitter... were like all these skeletons in his closet came out. Like, oh, he's a dick. Oh, he's, you know, he's, you were telling me stories of him. And it's just like, you know, it's funny when that happens, when the cancel culture, like, thing happens, or anything in comedy, that's when you see, that person sees who their real friends are, and that's when you see their real reputation is. So, I think that's showing. It's like, the joke that I make, and it's kind of, like, hacky about Tony, but the joke I make about him is the skeleton in the closet has skeletons in his closet. It's just like, you know, and it's just like, to me, it goes down to no matter what level you're at, you know, you might be, like, pretty, like, well-known like he is for, you know, the roast and his show and the Comedy Central roast. Those little people, you don't step on them because they're gonna, they can either catch you or like let you drop when, you know, things go sideways. That's the way that I put it.
Yeah, and I just think of it like, say what you want about Scientology, you know, but L. Ron Hubbard was like a tyrant sociopath.
Right.
Like, say what you want about Scientology. Maybe there's good things about Scientology.
Right.
Ron Miscavige, who runs it now, is a tyrant, sociopath, psychopath. Okay,
yeah.
Say what you want. Maybe it's a good religion. So it's like, say what you want about Kill Tony. Maybe the person that runs it is like a tyrant, sociopath.
Right.
Whether or not, but I'm a radical. What I'm radical about is freedom of speech. And
right.
So I'm like sort of torn because it's like on the one hand, I support his right to do whatever and I wouldn't cancel him
right.
for whatever. But when you add that to like... sort of not the best attitude or being a pompous, elitist,
right.
big timer, even when he was like just starting. I feel like he like set his personality to like Napoleon and then until the world caught up 10 years later and then he started getting adulation.
It's tough. Like to me, that's why I always like, that's just a learning experience. Like not a learning experience, but to me it's like, you know, that's what you do. Like you gotta, you know, be nice to, you know, everyone. And you know, it's all about the, you know, the people that you, you know, interact with and, you know,
yeah, yeah,
the impression that you leave. And I don't, to me it's just like, yeah, it's funny, when I saw the bit, like all the jokes, just they just seemed like jokes to me. I could tell they were jokes, but by the spirit of them, I thought, like, I didn't know the context. So I thought he was, you know, big time in this kid and bullying him. And I think that's, like, you kind of have that...
I think the kid's material was, like, race-baity material.
Yeah, and then, like, Tony comes out and he's just like, you know what, I'm going to ride this. And
I'm sure the kid, I don't know this for a fact, did the kid say the word chink in his act?
I think so, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So then Tony just says the same word he does and everyone's like, it's hate speech.
Right.
It's like, well, it's actually a callback to the whole
right.
show.
Right.
So that's where I'm like, just like some of the technical aspects of the writing, it's like, if
right.
your opener says chink and you don't say chink, it's almost like dishonest
right.
or unbrave.
Right.
So that's kind of the culture of the Comedy Store, too. Like, you know, like, if you say it, I can say it, we're all on the same show kind of thing. So that's
right.
what I don't, like, fault him for that, but...
I didn't know that it was, like, I didn't know that it was that it was, like, you know, a consensual thing, I guess, or like a bit. I didn't know that. I thought it was, you know, that's what I was more upset about. I was more upset about the social status.
Yeah, it's like I'm paying you to open for this show so I can just shit on you as hard as I possibly can. Instead of like being like more of a friendly thing, you know, when like Colin Quinn and Jim Norton and are ripping on each other, it's just like, I don't know, there's just this love and this friendship. When they start ripping on Richard Voss, sometimes it goes into like the hyper mean category. But but I love it. But there's a difference to the dynamic with, I don't know, and maybe it's something called narcissistic personality disorder or sociopathy, but when he does it to any, when he's mean, it just has a different wang at the end of it. Anyway, let's do some more shows.
All right.
Today is Monday, May 17, and I just got home from dropping Mr. Richard Dweck off at the airport from Austin due to New Jersey. I wish him a safe flight. Obviously, we had a good time. In 3 days, we did 7 shows, and I'm exhausted, but we had a great time together. I want to remind everybody listening that I have a sponsor, a CBD Remedy. Get some CBD oil, people. Rub it on yourself. Put it in your orange juice in the morning. I put it on my face. I got dry cracks in my face. I put it right on there. It works great. Sunspots, I don't know, that's what I use it for. Go to acbdremedy.com, use promo code Eric at checkout for 20% off. You can also go to erichollerbach.com and click on the stand-up specials. I have 3 stand-up specials available: conspiracies and dick jokes, fart porn in beer halls, and it's a medical device. Also, if you look at the tour dates, I'm going to be in Lafayette, Louisiana, and New Orleans, Louisiana, all through October. So about October 21st to 25th, I'll go all through Louisiana. Catch out my jokes there. Tour dates are posted online for everybody to see. EricHollerbach.com. Click the calendar. Anyway, thanks to my guest Richard Dweck. You can check out Richard Dweck's podcast. My appearance is going to be at What the Heck with Richard Dweck. Available on iTunes and everywhere you get podcasts. What the Heck with Richard Dweck. He's a beautiful angel of God. He, you know, interviews comedians all the time. He's got a hungry quest for comedy knowledge, and it's a joy to be in his presence. So thanks again to my guest, Richard Dweck. And I'll put it out like this: if you've done my podcast before, and you're in New Jersey or New Orleans or anywhere like that, send me a lovely email of the times that you'll be in Austin, Texas, and I can probably house you for a few days, 2 or 3 days, and maybe feed you breakfast sometimes. Anyway, putting that out there, we love having comics come through, and, you know, it's fun to be, you know, someone's comedy Sherpa in Austin, Texas. A lot of great people here. Getting a lot of good friends, meeting some fun people. So, putting that out there. Anyway, this has been another episode of the Highway Diary in the Bag. Thanks to my guest, Richard Dweck. Bye-bye.